Curate Ipsum, written by Bioluminescent and Right Through the Night, and read by Flower Parish. Abridged summary. Padawan Obi-Wan Kenobi makes a friend, and the universe changes for the better. Chapter 1. Again, Dark Woman said. He blinked back spots out of his vision. His hands trembled. He stepped into one shadow and out of another. He stumbled. Again. The next trip made him nauseous. The one after made him fall. Again, she said. Again. He threw up and stepped into the next shadow. They'd been doing this for hours. He knew Dark Woman wouldn't say stop, wouldn't say enough until he passed out. But his stamina was getting too good. His chest was caving in. He couldn't get enough air, but he was conscious. Again, she said. He stepped into one shadow and fell out of another, 6 feet up. His aim was starting to falter. When he hit the ground, he stayed down. He was so, so tired. He shook. Again, she said. He got to his feet. The punishment for giving up would be worse than the pain of force exhaustion. He stepped into one shadow and out of another. There was nothing left in his stomach to throw up. The next time he fell, his head cracked off shattered tile. His vision blurred, and he brought a hand to his temple like Dark Woman had shown him. He forced his brain through all the stages of healing, swelling, and agony, and scrubbed away the blood dripping into his eye. He stepped into one shadow and out of another. He was so tired. The snap crackle of a lightsaber's ignition almost brought him to tears. He bit the side of his cheek because Dark Woman said tears were a weakness that led to the dark side. If she wanted him to spar when he could barely keep his own feet, then he would spar. He turned. There was someone standing in front of his master, lightsaber drawn. Saurian, he thought, and they were the one with an ignited lightsaber. Dark Woman was amused, he could tell by the way her eyes narrowed. But she wasn't watching him, so he used the chance to catch his breath and force his hands to stillness. "Master Kuro," the Saurian said, "what are you doing?" Kuro. Had that been his master's name before she gave it up, as all Jedi should? "Master Mundi, I am training my Padawan," Dark Woman said. "Master Kuro, the boy is clearly unwell," Master Mundi said. His shoulders curled inwards. If even a stranger could see his weakness, Dark Woman would need to punish him. He should have been better, stronger. "He is learning." She looked at him, and his hands resumed their shaking. He kept them tucked into his sleeves out of sight. "Slowly, but he is learning nonetheless." "The Council does not approve of your methods." "I am not beholden to the Council," Dark Woman said. "You are incorrect." The Saurian shook his head. "All Jedi are beholden to the Council." Dark Woman's smile was cold. "There is no council in the Outer Rim, Master Mundi." "You are incorrect again. I am on the council." Master Mundi shifted his grip on his lightsaber. "Do you intend to take my Padawan away, Master Mundi?" Dark Woman asked. She didn't sound particularly upset by the idea. Of course she wasn't, he reminded himself. Jedi do not form attachments. The fact that leaving her care scared him only meant that he was failing as a Jedi. She said he was to be a knight in 3 years. Clearly, Dark Woman had changed her mind. "It is only logical," Master Mundi bowed his head. "You are a talented Jedi, but perhaps unsuited for students." Dark Woman tilted her head. "What has led you to these conclusions, my former apprentice?" "You were a harsh teacher before Master Yoda assumed responsibility for my training. I have been observing you with your current student. He is a child, and you have pushed him to his limit today for no clear reason." He didn't understand. His master trained him so hard because he needed her to. He was weak, but she was making him stronger. She scared him, but she was teaching him to survive. A few years ago, he would have died during some of her current training challenges. Now, he thrived. "I have not pushed him to his limits," Dark Woman said. "I have pushed him past them so that he can be stronger. When I am finished, he will be entirely self-sufficient. He will not need the support of the temple. He can continue my work and follow only the will of the Force." She sounded almost proud of him. His hands stopped shaking. "He is younger than most junior Padawans. You are too hard on the child." Master Mundi shook his head. Dark Woman scoffed. "He's 11 and only 3 years from knighthood at most. My training is effective." "You would make a 14-year-old a Jedi Knight." Master Mundi turned to stare at him. He stared back. The Saurian was tall, almost frighteningly so. "Master Kuro, you have become foolish in your self-imposed exile." "You are incorrect. My exile has only opened my eyes to the failings of the Council and the Order at large." Master Mundi raised his lightsaber. "Someone else will finish your Padawan's training, Master Kuro. I have spoken with the Council, and I will be returning to the temple with the boy." Dark Woman stared at the lightsaber Master Mundi leveled at her throat. He could see the calculation behind his master's eyes. If she wanted to destroy the other master, he knew she could. She looked over Master Mundi's shoulders and caught his eyes. He forced himself to hold the gaze. "This will be another lesson for you, Padawan. Observe the temple and its failings so that you will better understand our purpose." He bowed his head. "Fine, you may take him," Dark Woman said, and turned away. Master Mundi herded him to a ship and a bunk. "You must rest, child. Your energy levels are perilously low, and force exhaustion is harmful to humanoid growth." The Saurian waited, as if he expected him to have objections. A test, then. He knew better than to protest orders, and certainly knew better than to speak unprompted. The Saurian left him alone. He had nothing with him except for his lightsaber, which Master Mundi had already commented on. He wasn't asked to ignite it, so he didn't. If he was being ordered to rest, he would do so. The bunk was soft, too soft. The strangeness would ensure his sleep was light, so that when Master Mundi came to test his unconscious awareness, he would be ready. Not once, during the 8 hours, did the door open. He pushed his confusion into the Force. When he left the room, worried that his test was elsewhere on the ship, Master Mundi smiled. "Good, you were due to eat soon. We have another 37 hours before we reach Coruscant airspace." He nodded and finished whatever food Master Mundi put in front of him. The Saurian watched him as if he was a puzzle. "Are you incapable of speech?" That was a direct question. "I can speak," he said. His voice was rusty the way it got when he had been quiet for a long time. Dark Woman hadn't asked him any direct questions since the day before Master Mundi took him. The Saurian waited, as if he expected more. He didn't know what the master wanted. "I see," Master Mundi said. "What may I call you?" He tilted his head. "Another test?" "Padawan." Master Mundi waited again, his silence expectant. He said nothing. "I see," Master Mundi said, finally. "We will spar so I can assess your skill for the council and properly assign you a master." He nodded. Over the next day, the Saurian paced him through all his katas at half speed, and then at full when the master saw that he knew them. Master Mundi had him meditate, participate in open spar, and complete a series of learning modules. Dark Woman had never addressed some of the subjects, like governmental systems, but had gone far more in-depth in practical ones, such as ethics and astronavigation. "Do you speak any languages beside basic?" Master Mundi asked. "Yes," he said. Master Mundi only paused for a second before continuing. The Saurian must have started to believe that he was well-trained after all, and would not speak unprompted. "Which languages do you speak?" "Bachi, Mandoa, Rhodian, and Hatiz," he said. Dark Woman wanted him to be fluent in at least two more. "Impressive," Master Mundi said. "We will reach Coruscant in 8 hours and present you to the Council. You should rest." He returned to the bunk Master Mundi had assigned him. It was still too soft, and the half-rest he managed was not as refreshing as he would have liked. If he was to perform in front of the full Jedi Council, he would not be at his best. Mace Windu had a headache. Considering the shatter points that had haunted his sight since the crash, this was not a new phenomenon, but this headache was purely Council-induced. He was the youngest Jedi appointed to the Council in recent memory, and it had not turned out to be the privilege he had expected. Certainly not when Qui-Gon Jinn insisted on flaunting the Jedi Code at every turn. Mace felt bad for his Padawan, though Obi-Wan Kenobi had his own Council disputes. He'd had his eye on Kenobi in the crash before Deppa had stumbled into his path. The youngling had potential and was strong in the unifying force. Yoda was convinced that he would make a good Padawan for Jinn, despite the fact that the man was still absorbed with Xanatos's fall. Their beginning had been rocky, to say the least, with Kenobi's disobedience on Melida Dawn and Xanatos's temple attack, but they had finally begun to level off. Or they had, before Master Tall's death. New Absalon had been a disaster from start to finish, and Jinn was dubiously present now. He was taking time in the temple to mourn, which no one on the Council blamed him for, but there were concerns about Kenobi. He had taken to haunting the training cells, sans master, and appeared generally unwell. Kenobi had rarely been in temple longer than a month since Jinn had claimed him, and Mace found himself wondering now, idly, if that had been a mistake. The boy was remarkably self-possessed and calm, but he seemed to view the Council with the same distrust as his master, the same distrust that the rest of the temple seemed to have for the Padawan. Though Kenobi had been quick to prove himself after Melida Dawn and Initiate Chun's death, he was still distant from his peers. Most of his creshmates were out of the temple, and no one else seemed willing to approach him. Mace's headache intensified. Obi-Wan Kenobi was surrounded by a truly extraordinary number of shatter points. The Order would need him in the future, and it was far too soon for him to lose faith. If something didn't change, the Council would have to step in. When Mace had tried to speak to his master, Jinn was supremely unconcerned. "Be in the moment, Mace," Jinn had said, looking even worse than his Padawan. "The Force will provide." Mace had the truly undignified urge to hit him. Trusting that particular Jedi with a child when he was clearly unable to take care of himself may have been a mistake. Unfortunately, the Kenobi-Jinn situation was not the sole cause of this particular headache. Kiari Mundi had been assigned an easy mission, cleaning up the remains of an Outer Rim smuggling ring. He'd finished ahead of schedule, and then informed the Council that Master Kuro was nearby. Though she had not taught him for long, Mundi continued to try to maintain the relationship. Mace was sure it would be another failure. Mundi calmed during a Council session 16 hours later. "Master Kuro has taken a student, a young humanoid male." Plo Koon frowned. "I see. I thought she swore off students after the unfortunate situation with Padawan Aura." "Surprised we should not be," Yaddle said. "What she wants, Master Kuro always does." "We should not be surprised, but perhaps concerned," Mundi said. Mace frowned, reading the lines of tension in the Saurian's shoulders. "I am worried for her student." pressure began to build in Mace's head, pulsing behind his eyes. "This is important," the Force whispered. "It's not like you to dance around the truth, Kiari," Rancisis said. "What have you seen?" Mundi frowned. "She pushes the boy to the point of complete force exhaustion. He collapsed during training several times, and she forced him to get up and keep going." Despite himself, Mace felt the stirrings of anger. Whatever painful shatterpoints might surround this conversation, her student was a child and one who might need rescue. Mace saw his own frown mirrored on Plo's face. The Kaldor had a soft spot for younglings. The boy felt afraid of her, even through his quite admirable shields. The entire council frowned at that. "Troubling, this is," Master Yoda said. "Act in the youngling's best interest, we should. Remove him from his master, we must." The pressure in Mace's head snapped, with a wave of pain sharp enough that he brought a hand to his forehead. It shocked him, the size of the shatterpoint. He hadn't felt one this large in years, not since he had taken Depa as his student. When Mace managed to blink the spots of pain from his vision, Yoda was watching him, eyes wide. A shatterpoint large enough that those attuned to the currents of the Force felt it. "Change this will bring," the Grandmaster of the Order said. "Meet this child, we must." The projection of Mundi bowed. "I will bring him before the council as quickly as I can." He vanished. End of chapter 1.